Well, in the laboratory this evening, we have a special guest, the Lymph Node Institute's Ted Mann, a former inpatient, one of our greatest triumphs, and he is an expert on most things profane and dark, so tonight we're going to pick his brain, as it were, about monsters and monsterdom. Ted Mann, what is your favorite monster and why?
My favorite monster is probably Jason Voorhees, because I've known him since 1986, or maybe Dracula, because he gets all the... He's a Frankenstein, because I can relate to his brain activity. You want to talk about picking brains, you could just take a brain, put it in some big zombie's head, and have him kill your enemies. It's a perfect crime. He kills somebody, you get away with it.
I noticed that the monsters you mentioned, Jason Voorhees, Dracula, Frankenstein, and zombie, were all once human. Is that an important factor? Do you need to relate to the monster? I mean, some slimy thing from the deep, does that appeal to you at all, with utterly no humanity to it whatsoever?
Humanity is, it runs its course, and then we had progressed from ape to human, and we'll go further up to monster.
Monster. It's an inevitable evolution into monsterdom.
Absolutely. In fact, our ancestors were apparently aliens, which got us out of our prognagnum state, and we became what we are. Now we need to get more aliens like it from, it came from outer space, that old sci-fi movie. Get those monstrous aliens to turn us into monsters.
Monsters. So, see, as they turned us from apes into human, so they shall turn us from human to monster.
It's inevitable.
A monster could be the next phase of evolution that all of the unevolved mere humans look at and shriek and don't understand, so they try to burn it with a steak or chicken breast, whatever. But in fact, it is the humans who are monsters, and the monsters, say the abominable snowman or yetis, be the next phase of humanity.
Not my diagnosis. People have been branded as monsters for the longest time. Incidentally, the evolution from person to monster, human to monster, is already taking place gradually. You don't know it, but if anybody's missed it, I'm pretty much the missing link there.
What about the role of science in creating monsters?
How do you think it starts? I mean, we need mad scientists to help the aliens, don't we, the Greys?
Of course we do.
That's where we are.
Dr. Bugladder now has some questions for you.
Are you going to be like the monsters in the bug movies from the 50s and the...
Yeah, they had giant monsters. I think that was just a limitation of their budgets.
Bugs, Empire of the Ants.
That's right. They said, well, we can just film the bug and make it big, and that's a monster. It's a giant bug. That's a monster.
There
and that
go.
Didn't used to be a person. So your theory has a hole.
But the larger ants are the more highly evolved ants.
The larger ants are the more highly evolved ants, or just freaks of radioactive mutation.
Alien ants.
They were aliens. Maybe they bring their own ants down here, and they run rampant in this new environment. Ted Mann, what was the first horror movie you remember ever seeing?
Dracula versus Frankenstein. Probably that, because I remember seeing that when I was very, very, very young.
Okay, now what's the horror movie, or monster movie, more specifically, that you've seen the most times?
I'm caught between Friday the 13th and Halloween.
About how many times have you seen those films?
Over 50 times, I'll bet.
Yeah. So, how about those monsters?
All right, which ones now? Because we were talking mostly about zombified killers when it comes to Freddy and Jason and Michael Myers. They're pretty much zombified. I want to talk about real killer monsters. The only ones I can really think of right now are aliens, ants, bugs. Beware of the blob, he creeps. Blah, 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 blah. Demons can be interpreted as monsters, can they not?
I would say so. They are certainly monstrous. They are a distortion of humanity.
Are they wiser and more evolved than us, I wonder?
They're so primitive.
They are. They're driven by their base desires, but on the other hand, they know that we are too. And they can manipulate us into doing their bidding.
We can make all your desires come true.
What's that dumb rock and roll movie where Fastway did the soundtrack?
That wasn't Fastway. If this is not the movie I'm thinking about. Rock and Roll Nightmare. Thor did the music for that one.
Color
of course,
me corrected.
Trick or Treat.
That was Fastway.
That was probably Fastway. Yeah, that was the 1986 movie with the Solid Gold Dancer as the demonic dead ghost person. Are they zombies too?
No.
Ghosts are not zombies. Ghosts are monsters too, aren't they?
No.
No?
No, they're spirits pushing.
But either way, by the end of our lives, we evolve into ghosts, so that doesn't that make us some kind of wiser?
Evolution.
It's the next step into the trip, man. Leave your soul at the door and come on inside.
I understand that you have been subcontracting with Troma lately.
Yeah, I am one of the several people who testified to the greatness of our favorite heroic monster, the Toxic Avenger, Tromaville's favorite teenage, grotesque, hideously deformed creature of superhuman size and strength. I'm on the actual DVD. You actually get to see me saying how much I was disgusted and titillated by the movie, that I loved it. It's only one shot of me, but that all I need is my 15 seconds of lame, and that's all I need.
We're spreading ours out over several years.
Whatever floats your boat, whatever throws your gorilla, whatever tosses your salad, whatever beats your meat, I don't know.
Go on, next!
And then lived long enough to have a life devoid of monsters, at least.
Which is a hell in and of itself.
It can be. I mean, where's the thrill? Where's the excitement? Where's the sense of adventure? If you're not running away from a chainsaw-wielding monster with fangs the size of strap-ons, then what good is your life? I mean, you got to get all that adrenaline in there to make life worth living, and then you can have your heart attack. They need to make some new monsters. Wait, I just now remembered an extra one. Chucky the doll.
And Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, it is just a man, but he unleashes his dark side, making himself a monster. By science.
Yet again.
You know, the way the society's been going with humans talked about as monsters, what he does is that the monster apparently drinks the formula and then goes out at night as normal as the rest of the freaks that come out at night.
The moral of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde is...
How do you get killed by a phone?
Don't experiment on yourself. Experiment on the homeless.
The only way people can experiment on themselves because some people don't let us do it to them. We gotta do it to ourselves, but we could find some homeless people to exploit.
It's capitalism, baby. That's the whole purpose of the homeless.
It's the American way.
Exactly. The 50s were a huge time of paranoia and monster movies.
Yeah, funny that.
When the powers that be telling you that the communists are everywhere and you needed to be on the lookout for any communist activity, paranoia, outside, all over, equals monster movies, apparently. They're all like invaders, external invaders, monsters from the sky. There was a direct link between the Red Scare and the type of
diversions
that we enjoyed as a nation.
Michael Landon as the werewolf, teenage werewolf in the girls' gym.
So come on. on now and join me. I'm glad to show you how. Tell our president to save our forests now. Bloody was frightened.
The ghouls and the goblins in the hop.
And the zombies all danced to Bebopalula.
It was a Halloween shindig.
Oh my, what a Halloween shindig this is.
WREK, Atlanta.
Just as the human race will eventually evolve beyond humanity into what we now think of as monsterism, which to the Neanderthals, Homo sapiens were monsters.
Well, sure, but they were even more primitive. But I understand it's a ratio thing.
Just as people evolve physically, they also evolve psychologically, and some of us have evolved beyond the realm of good and evil and mere mortal taboos on things like eating the flesh of their fellow man.
I'm a cannibal!
We don't say, you know, stand with a big pot and cook people. But we have symbolic forms of cannibalism in everyday life.
establish a very strong psychological taboo against using human flesh. When one has to struggle, and people do, by the reports of those who have done it, with an idea of teasing, it's disgusting, it's nauseating, literally nauseating, and it is frightening. Yet the hunger, the things of hunger, and the hope for the survival are strong enough forces to make almost any normal person in these very dire circumstances choose to cannibalize.
As our salute to the man who killed and ate the flesh of 17 people.
You know, it's language alone, you see terms that are cannibalistic. Cannibalistic competition. Dog-eat-dog competition. We talk about buttering someone up, grilling them, roasting them, chewing them up and spitting them out. You know, we nowadays talk about just about everything but cannibalism. It is such a terrifying thing for adults that they just don't talk about it. It is one of the last taboos in this country.
Every society, in order to exist, must maintain a number of taboos, behaviors which are forbidden, typically by God. These taboos are not explainable by intellect. These are injunctions by the superpower telling us don't do that. Once those rules are gone, anarchy prevails.
You don't taste masculinity, Pinky.
What's what makes it tasty, don't you know?
We got a fella in the morgue that's been trimmed up for meat. Have I got the right department? Yes, sir, this is the meat. Yes, sir, you certainly do.
I'm sorry.
Let's say I got six people in a row. Well,
How do you know? Well, which one might taste best out of them? Well, let's take a guess. You got big guys, you got little guys, and big girls and little girls too. You put it in a pan, muscle or organ. You fry it up real good southern style. I don't know why, but the thought just makes me smile. Oh, the smell of people cooking in the kitchen. You just don't know. And maybe you do. I'm thinking maybe I should get in touch with you. Your friends won't let you babysit, so don't tell them. Well, I'm gonna eat you cause I wanna get your magic powers. I'm gonna eat you cause I wanna get your magic powers. I'm gonna eat you cause I wanna have control of your soul.
So that was Monsters.
Yeah, we didn't really get into the specifics about current monsters in the administration. I mean, in the world.
Politics.
Now, we try to try to be your oasis from such things.
No, we don't. I just try to stay out of jail. Channel 36 and...
Cassandra Peterson.
You know, I never would have seen Dracula or...
Pigs.
What's the one where the guy was a foot doctor? It was like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, but he was a podiatrist.
That was a movie with James Coogan, who was Uncle Fester.
So go to IMDb and look up podiatrist, and you'll never find it. So now that we've stumped Ted Man, it only took an hour.
I assume this is from the 70s.
I think it's 1982.
Dr. Heckle and Mr. Hype.
Dr. Heckle and Mr. Hype. I knew it, yep.
An ugly, misshapen podiatrist ingests a formula made by a colleague and turns into a handsome, devil-may-care, but violent ladies man.
Oliver Reed.
Damn, he must have been almost dead when he did that.
Why do we like to be scared? Who the hell knows, but monsters are pretty scary. If there's one under your bed, you might want to get the hell up.
You might want to invite him to bed.
And if there's a monster in your closet, make sure you go that way.
And if there's a monster in your pants, then you're Fred Schneider.
Good night!
Let the monster out of the closet.
Close us out. Give us a final thought.
All right.
Like Springer.
Things we learn so late when we're older.
Like
so
how to say heterotiophis?
When it's too late.
Too late.
Only then, in the end, do we learn.
That's his final thought.
That we suck.
If you would like more information on the Church of the Subgenius, you could write to them at P.O. Box 181-417, Cleveland Heights, Ohio 44118-1417, or visit them online at subgenius.com.
If you like us, like we like you, lymphnode.net,
or write to us at
P.O. Box
670-541 Marietta,
Georgia
30066-0126. Okay, you have heard Forey Ackerman, the Pink Lincolns performing Monsters, Enter the Haggis performing Ride My Monster,
Shenard Walker performing Monsters, and then Abby Travis with Monster. Then you heard some things from Wake and Bake 2, the Chupacabra Macarena by Clyde Lewis and Charlene Spencer. Then John Parker Music performing Quick, There's a Monster. School for Monsters from the musical Avenue Q by Rick Lyon. Then you heard Jad and David Fair performing Abominable Snowman. Eric Herman and the Invisible Band wove the Freudian tale, There's a Monster in My House. Then Jad and David Fair again singing about Bigfoot. Followed by Marilyn Sekal doing I Want a Monster to Be My Friend, Jad and David once more performing Sasquatch, and for the last time performing Yeti. After that, you heard the Misfits with Glenn Danzig performing 20 Eyes, the Ted Mann interview, the Monsters performing Viva La Monsters, then the Misfits without Glenn Danzig performing The Monster Mash. Dracula's Pajama Party and Halloween Shindig were from Mr. Show, and Bobby Pickett did Monster Slash about the forests and the monsters. Then we played Cannaboo again because we did it, and Bald Evil performed Monster and provided the background sample for the Ted Mann interview.
But 10 years later, well, things had changed. Cause Suga Angry actually had my monster rearranged. And all the ones we were in said, monster again. My monster's always with me. He's my very special friend. I'm going to see my last day, Sumagoo. And if she wants to Sumagoo, get right my monster too. And I'll be floating across the lock on my monster again. My monster's always with me. He's my very special friend. I'm going to see. My monster jock.
There's a monster in my pants, and I love to watch him dance. He wiggles in and out, everybody's puffing out.
Ooh, a monster!
Ah, a monster!
Take it! Take it! Take that, you awful thing!
I'm trying to think of a...
You just have to not
trying
think.
To think of, yeah, I do. It hurts my head sometimes, but yes, yeah, sometimes I do gotta think. Okay, let me think of something witty. All right.
Got him in the eye.
Damn.
Got him in the eye. Oh, no, I'm kidding, I'm kidding. Oh, I thought it was going to be a screwdriver.
It's.
I deserve that.
No one leave, I'm calling the police.
Help you if you don't like Scooby-Doo.
Eloquent. Succinct.
Ooh!
Turn on the record player! Cover your ears, everyone!
Tomatoes! They're drinking!
Oh, my God, the tomatoes!
In this postmodern world where nothing is true and everything is permitted, all meaning is but the shifting of the shadows, shades of gray mocking your beliefs.
Is there anywhere to turn? Any hope for the superior mutant?
No.
Except for Bob Slacktime Funhouse every Saturday night at 1 a.m. after the hour of Slack.
Reverend Susie the Floozy and the Lymph Node Institute provide a booster shot of Dobbsian goodness
to guide you through the hellish
pink apocalyptic
fake reality
to the glittering promise of eternal salvation or
Don't stand up to be counted.
Sit down, tune in, slack off,
and praise Bob with Bob Slacktime Funhouse every Saturday night at 1 a.m. right here on WREK Atlanta. Listen online at WREK.org.